How far would you travel to satisfy your food cravings? Australian food writer Joanna Saville has gone the distance. She spent the last two decades savouring the creations of some of the world's best chefs. Her quest for the most exquisite meals in the world has occasionally taken her off the beaten foodie track to places like the Mexican jungle and even alpine meadows that you could only reach on foot or by horse. The former editor of the Sydney Morning Herald's Good Food Guide is now sharing her top restaurant recommendations in a new book co-authored with Jan Alpergren. It's called Around the World in 80 Dinners. Joanna Saville, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
You've dined in every continent of the world, Joanna, from the most decorated restaurants in France to eateries in the streets of Mexico. What's the best meal you've ever had?
Oh, that's such a tricky question. I think part of the experience of a really great meal is not just the food, it's the travel, it's everything that goes around it. So look, these are 80 of the best places that both Jan and I have been to around the world. A couple of standouts might be somewhere like Faviken in far northern Sweden, which took half a day to travel to.
Because where is it?
Because it is in far northern Sweden and you can't actually get there easily. We've had to fly from London to Norway and then drive, get a taxi for about 3 hours to get to the restaurant. And then you arrive in the middle of the ski fields in northern Sweden and have a little sauna with some beer and a little bit of few snacks before you actually go to dinner. And then dinner is served with food that's been preserved and aged and pickled and dried and really done the traditional way over the whole Swedish seasonal calendar. So, and then you stay the night and then with a furry blanket, and then in the next morning you have a beautiful Swedish breakfast. Now that is something you don't forget.
No, and that's a real experience, as you say, and that's something you can't really do on the trot. I mean, you say in the book that you, in fact, usually book your restaurants before you book your airfares. So how much of a role do you think food is playing these days when people book a holiday?
Look, I think it's absolutely key. Most of us like to eat well when we travel, even if food's not our primary goal, unlike some of us. Tourism Australia is actually investing a huge amount of money in convincing people that Australia is a great place to eat, because people come here to see Sydney Opera House or Uluru, but they actually, then when they're here, they discover that food in Australia is amazing. So it's part of everyone's experience these days, some a little more obsessive than others, of course.
Food in Australia is great by and large, and you've picked out Tasmania particularly as a bit of a foodie hotspot, but you've got a lot of good things to say about a lot of cities. Though I noticed that a lot of the restaurants you pick are what we'd call fine dining restaurants. Is it just that those sorts of restaurants, if you're comparing cuisine, sort of, you know, the local Vietnamese, even though it might be fantastic, cannot sort of beat that in experience? Why have you gone for that level, if you like?
There is a bit of a mix in the book, but definitely the fine dining
in the Australian ones in particular.
Yeah, they are the ones that I think stand out for the reason I was talking about earlier, which is that it is about the whole package. And sometimes that the theatre of it and the presentation and the excitement and the specialness of it is what really captivates you. But having said that, I wrote the chapter on Mexico City and, of course, dined at a couple of fabulous places that are listed amongst the best in the world. But one of the most fun moments was standing on a street corner with, you know, blokes in suits and everybody
Queuing up for tacos. Yeah, nothing like it, I guess. And that sort of brings me to the question about the world's cuisine, because for decades we've thought of the European cuisines, the French in particular. The Italian is a favourite here for Australians, I think, as the most exquisite cuisines. But you've gone far afield. I mean, Mexico, you've talked about Zambia. Where are the new sort of cuisine hotspots, if you like, gastronomic hotspots?
Look, I think South America is certainly somewhere where a lot of the chefs these days are going back to their roots and discovering, you know, the ingredients, the traditions, the techniques that have always been there, and somehow modernising them and creating something new, but something that's very much about their place, so that you're not just eating Italian in London, Paris, New York and Lima. So
Tell me about Lima. Yeah. Tell me about Peru.
Yeah, so Peru is a great example where food has almost become a socio-economic enterprise as well, because it's not only about great chefs, and there are a couple of really great chefs in Peru who've taken traditions and produce and all of those things that are so uniquely Peruvian and turned them into incredible fine dining journeys, but they've also, through that, actually reactivated traditional farming methods. They're supporting farmers. They're encouraging tourism to Peru. There's this sort of food gastronomic-led recovery almost that's happening in countries like Peru and Mexico, Chile, all over South America, because people are coming to spend a lot of money in some instances on delicious food, but also to rediscover places through their traditional dishes and ingredients.
And this foodie fervour, it gives you sort of an insider knowledge too. In fact, you write that food restaurant recommendations are exchanged, quote, with the fervour of insider trading and hot punting tips, and that these lists have become like US dollars in Soviet years. But you're giving it away for what? The small price of whatever it is,
yes,
for your book.
$45 something or other, I think. Yeah, $45. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just fine dining restaurants. We do have a lot of other, you know, tips and little bits and pieces all through the book. So
we've been big on tipping here this morning because it is Melbourne Cup Day. So we're hoping you might give some tips away for free here, because as you say in the book, the biggest bills haven't always meant the most memorable meals. Joanna, if you could book a table anywhere in the world tonight, where would it be? What would it be?
Oh, that's a tricky one. It'd have to be somewhere that I'd never been before. And I think on my bucket list would be probably some amazing restaurant in China that I don't even know about yet, because I've not actually experienced Beijing. And we've got Hong Kong in the book, but we haven't gone further afield. So a giant banquet with at the top restaurant in Beijing. And don't know what it is yet.
There must be a lot going on gastronomically in Beijing, I would suggest.
And that'll be book number two, I think.
Okay. All right, Joanna, thank you very much. Joanna Saville, she's a food writer of some experience and some renown, and she's the co-author of a new book called Around the World in 80 Dinners. So if you've got some travel coming up, you might want to have a look at this. Thanks very much, Joanna.